This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast. I'm Ollie Jones, the founder and host of the podcast and Local Legends in Running coaching brand. Today, season 4, episode 90, I invite back to the show former Road to Gold Coast Half Marathon Series co-host, Stephen Butcher from the Bush Jerky Track Club in Brisbane. This episode was all about the World Athletics Champs. We recorded halfway through the week of the champs and reflected on the events that have been, such as the marathons, the 10Ks, the women's 1500, and of course, Jess Hull's third in that event. We then go on to talk about the events to come, the men's 1500 and the 5K for both men and women. Stephen also touches on his recent experience at the Bridge to Brisbane 10K, where he recorded his first sub-33 10K. As always, guys, you're going to hear opinions and stories that I hope you can resonate with today. Enjoy the listen, guys. Thank you. Back, Stephen Butcher, to the Local Legends in Running podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ollie. Looking forward to talking about some running that's going on at the moment.
Yeah, awesome, mate. We're halfway through the World Champs, the World Athletics Champs happening over in Tokyo. It's Wednesday and we sit here at 8 p.m. And we're going to talk all things events that have happened and are going to happen inevitably in the future in the next few days as it finishes and wraps up over the weekend. But before we get there, mate, we've been out at Bridge to Brisbane on the weekend on Sunday morning, and what an event that was. 35,000 people out there. You were there. I was there with the Bush Turkey Track Club and a huge, massive, shiny new PB of a high 32.55, wasn't it? A 45-ish second PB.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so just dipped under 33 for the first time. I had a bit of an ambitious goal and... yeah, had one of those mornings where there was a great group around me. I was running with Ewan McFadgen for a fair chunk of it. He dropped off and got about a 10-second PB for him. But, yeah, had a great morning. And, yeah, I think one thing that's really great about Bridge to Brisbane is the Burt make it their running champs. So,
oh, it is, yeah.
You know, you're gonna get a, yeah, you know you're going to get a deep field. And I think that's a really great thing for the event and for, you know, clubs like ours that we know we can go and, you know, run with some fast guys and, yeah, run some fast times.
100%, yeah. Obviously, they're the group out there that everybody tries to get on top of, and their depth is ridiculous. And it is part of their like, sort of champs, the running champs through the year. I think there's a Roadrunners event they have in there as well that contributes to that. And maybe one, maybe the, I think it's the Sandgate 5K champs too, Stephen, if you can correct me there, but it should be me correcting you. I was a former runner in that group.
Yeah, well, yeah, the speed week's their thing as well. And they're great at bringing fast guys together and bringing girls, fast guys and girls. But yeah, making Bridge to Brisbane at 10Ks, yeah, always makes it deep and a lot of fun, so.
Yeah, awesome, mate. We'll come back to that in a bit more depth because that will be part of the agenda. We'll touch on that. But yeah, being halfway through the World Athletics Champs at the moment, all our conversations are going to be around those events. So much been happening. Hey, this has been an amazing World Champs. I don't know if you feel the same, Stephen. It just feels like it's being followed more. The people I talk to, runners, even non-runners, I spoke about, we had a huge weekend of sport, right? Rugby league, AFL, and rugby union, like significant matches. And there's still people out there talking about World Champs. The stadium, we've seen the numbers in the crowds over there. They have been huge.
Yeah, they're getting like it's like a 50,000, 60,000 person stadium, and it's yeah. I mean, the Japanese they love their running. Like the marathon, their national sports are like football, baseball, and marathoning. So there's a lot of interest in it. They really get into it, and you can just I think coming off the 2020 Olympics where they had no one there, I think they've just really embraced it, and there's a lot of excitement around these ones. So, yeah, I don't know. A lot of people are talking about it. Well, yeah, probably maybe it's just in the circles we run in, but yeah, I've definitely been consuming my fair share of World Champs content, that's for sure.
Well, before we get there, let's get back to Bridge to Brisbane. Mate, what do you make of the event in general? Like, you've been out there a number of times now, over a number of years, that is, and like where you sort of placed relative to your time kind of thing with the sub elites. And then also, like, obviously, 30,000 plus runners out there. What do you make of the event in general?
It's an iconic event. I mean, like it's kind of, you know, it's our every most cities have one that, you know, one of those just iconic mass participation events. As I mentioned before, like from a, you know, sort of our level of runners, what makes it really great is a lot of the fast running community in Brisbane sort of do show up. And yeah, that makes it a really a fast event, even with the hills. I think you can run fast on the course, like obviously off. I and a lot of the bush turkeys prove you can, but I think yeah, it's just a great event. Like it's just so much fun. Like getting the train out there in the morning, running point to point. It's a little bit later in the year than it used to be. I've actually this is the first time I've probably had crack there. Like running fast and I've been fit. I ran it a couple of times when I was younger, and it was probably not really, you know, running or training like I do now. And then the last few years I've got injured a couple of times. So I ran it with Cece Garcia last year, and I sort of paced her and Bluey in about 37 and a half minutes. And then one other time I dropped out because I couldn't do it, and then there was another time I couldn't get there. So it's been one I've wanted to really like rip a quick one for a few years, so it was good to finally get out there and run it in that capacity. But yeah, great event. It's just yeah, I had so much fun going out there, and so many people show up. So it's like, you know, when you're jogging around the start line, warming up, you know, there's you see so many people, you know, and it's yeah, just a really, really, really good vibe. So I had it's a yeah, I cannot speak highly enough of the event. And if there's people out there who haven't done it, who live here locally, I
Yes, definitely.
yeah, you really got to get out there because it's a lot of fun.
Definitely recommend it. It's such a novelty, isn't it? The point-to-point race and just the logistics getting there. It's a super early wake up, often involving a long train ride. Like we were on what a 4:20, I think, train from the Bush Turkey Track Club, about 20 of us on a train, just chatting and giggling at like weird hours of the morning on the way to a race. And then all of a sudden you're on the south side of the gateway, about to run over a road which is, you know, you can't run on that road normally, can you? It's closed off always to runners unless you're on the footpath, but it's a hill straight up and then down, and then an awesome stretch along the Kingster Smith Drive before you head back up towards ICB. Mate, Cal Davies won that 30:01. We've had, I believe from memory, Liam Burden run a sub 29, a very high 28 a couple of years back. I do think if you agree, the course used to be a tad short though. In recent years, they've made that, I think, closer to 10K. So potentially that's why those times may be 30 plus, or that's just the fitness of the runners. Ryan Gregson and Tim Fisk closely behind those guys. Chloe Pateman, Rochelle Hill and Siobhan Sefton. I don't know those two in second and third, but they were 33, 34, 35 respectively. So some pretty awesome results.
Yeah, I think I know that they had the couple of years where it was run really quickly. It was when it went the other side of to Gregory Terrace. So rather than turning down O'Connell Terrace and coming into the showgrounds like it did this year, it went straight and just finished on Gregory Terrace, which made it that year, I think it was significantly short. But I think at the top end of with the elites, just between like Jen Gregson's out, like, well, I think she was actually there running it, but has sort of had the had a baby recently, and I think between that and like this couple of, the top guys, Tim Vincent, Liam Bowden, Jude Thomas now lives in Melbourne, I believe. There wasn't that top end depth, but I think, yeah, the course now they go back down the other side is closer to 10K, or like right on 10K rather than, just a little bit short. So, but yeah, that year, what was that, 2 years
Yeah,
ago?
20. That's I've got 22 results up. For obviously, there's no visual here for the listeners, but 22 was the course we've just run on the weekend, the point to point. Liam Burden 28:50. That's smoking. But yeah, I still think at that point in 22, I personally run a PB as well, and often the runners on that day were pretty much getting 9.9K as opposed to 10. I just don't know what they're doing with measuring of this course. Have you heard anything about that?
Oh, I don't think it's officially measured, but they, yeah, the course that they do now where they come down the other side is definitely like it's most people had just under 10K, but they also finished it not in the tent this year, which I think
Yes,
it got a
yeah.
little bit chaos. So it's probably a 20 meters shorter, but I think like, yeah, it's sort of, you probably, I don't know if you can necessarily, I mean, if you run fast, it would have, like, for me, even if I'd gone an extra, I think mine came up as 9.99 or something. So I was just short. But if I'd run the 10 meters, I still would have run a PB. So, yeah, it wasn't like it was touch and go for me on the weekend. But yeah, I don't know. It would be probably nice to have it officially measured, just so that it's going to definitely be 10K. But in saying that, also, it is just like an iconic event. It's about that, it's probably more targeted at the mass participation
Yeah,
rather
that's it.
than, the serious sort of enthusiastic runners like us. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a great, like, either way, like I'll probably, keep trying to get out there most years, because it's, yeah, it's iconic. But in saying that, but it would be nice to measure it. Like, it wouldn't be hard. You just push it back a little bit at the start and push it a little bit further into the tent at the end, and then you definitely got 10K. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's get to you, mate, because this 32 high, like the 32 high for 10K in my mind is like really pushing the parameters to, you're sort of stuck between now this sub elite and elite. Once you're hitting 31s and most certainly 30s for men, it's like you're hitting that elite range. Like this is a significant, I think, improvement for you, Stephen. You've been running for ages, and that's why I say that. Like for me, if I were to obtain a 43 second PB at this point, I'd be absolutely stoked. Like you being out there for so long, it obviously gets harder to improve your times. There's a point where you start to plateau. You're a bit younger than I am, 30 or 33 or 4 this year, but like that's must be really promising moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's been, I've had like a funny couple of years. Like last year was a little bit of a write-off. I had a few, I had a back thing that went on, and then which sort of took me out for running like any fast times really. And then I don't know, it's like just a combination. I've always thought I could run like 32 high, but yeah, I don't know. I think I just need the race for it to line up, and I don't know. Sometimes, like Clive, who Gross, who a lot of people will know as Prom District, he's sort of one of those guys that, I've been running with for a long time, and he sets really ambitious goals, and he makes sure you want to do it too. And I think this was just one of those ones that it was a little bit ambitious, but I just, I don't know. On Sunday, like as I said, I'm training for Melbourne at the moment. That's 4 to 3.5 weeks away now. So, when we're running for marathons, it's the most we run, it's the fittest we're ever going to be. So I just had this weird self-belief that I could run fast on the weekend, and yeah, I was over the moon. I couldn't wipe the smile off my face all weekend, and so many of the guys we run with had great days as well. So Yeah, I don't know. I was stoked. And yeah, as I said, 32, it's one of those ones I thought I could do, but you know, sometimes you don't know if it's too ambitious or something. But yeah, I can say I can do it now. And I had enough seconds underneath, even if it was a little, you know, a couple of 20 meters short, but I'll still claim it for now anyway. But yeah, I don't know. It was, yeah, but as you said, it's hard to get PBs when you're this fast. And I took a minute off my half marathon time, so early in the year, and this is sort of like, you know, 43 seconds off a 10K is a bigger proportion of a jump down than that. So yeah, I was over the moon.
Awesome, mate. Before we get into the World Athletics Champs, what do you read into that? If you PB a 10K on the road to a marathon, how much do you read into that sort of in indicating your fitness for an event that's four times as long?
Yeah, I think it's the 10K is as good a predictor as a half marathon in my eyes. I think a 5K you can sort of fake it, and if you're really fit, you can just pull something out of nowhere. A half marathon and a 10K to me are they're more strength based events rather than your speed. So if you're running well over 10K, like, oh, I think that's quite a good indicator that at least you're in good shape. Like our group has, you know, we do a lot of 10K, like critical velocity, that sort of speed work on a Tuesday, and then mix it in with the marathon training. So when we are training for a marathon, most of the guys in our group will tend to be running pretty well over 10K as well. So I don't know. I think it's probably nothing really shows you're in good marathon shape other than running a
Doing
marathon.
it.
Yeah, but I think it's not a bad indicator. If you're running well over 10K, I think you're in a good position. So and to be honest with you, even if I you know it you know even if it's it maybe over inflates how well you're going for the marathon, I think you can't run take that much off without being in good shape. So I'm definitely I'm feeling like I'm in better shape than I've been in for the marathon. I've had a really good block, like getting good consistent numbers, you know, weekly mileage and all that. So I think the 10K hopefully reflects that I'm going to take a bit of a chunk off the marathon too. But yeah, time will tell. In 3.5 weeks, we'll know.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that 10K, especially the last couple K of a 10K really sort of bring out how much volume have you done and how many thresholds have you done before that run? Because for me, I hadn't done much of either before the weekend, and it started to really hit me at 7, 8K, and that's where I think that strength can be shown in an event, even though it's 10K compared to 42. I think that does come out at the latter stage, but
I think as well, when you throw in a bit of for you as well, around the point where it starts to get really hard, like Bridge to Brisbane is another one where they throw in that the hill onto the ICB, which makes or breaks a few people. And so I know, yeah, I've definitely heard people who aren't in the best shape. And I mean, like, I think you had a really great run considering how much running you've been doing. But I can imagine when you got to that hill that when, you know, at the point of 10K normally starts to hurt and they throw that in, it definitely can exposes a few people, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't fun, but actually, I went out slower than usual on the weekend with less expectations. So I got to that hill and went half decently. And that's shown on those Strava segments, the ones up the hills there at the end. And I was
Yeah.
fast on the weekend, but elapsed time, not so much. But anyway, let's get to World Champs. That's going to take up some time here. I reckon we start with the marathon, mate, because that's going to, well, so much has happened in it. Both the men's and women's race were won within a second. The men's obviously closer. We've got to acknowledge too, for those who are listening now who don't follow running so closely, the World Athletics Champs and Com Games and Olympics, they're so different to a fun run, aren't they? In terms of numbers, like there's 90 runners in this men's marathon compared to thousands and thousands in a fun run event. So, and that's even, I guess, more significant in the Commonwealth Games. It's down to closer to 40, isn't it? Like for the actual race.
I
So,
think even less, like it can be like even, I think 2022, I think Andy Buchanan came 7th out of about 15 or 16 from memory, so they
yeah,
can be
crazy.
tiny fields.
Yeah, I think you're right. So that's such a different experience for runners out there, in terms of depth. But 47 nations represented in that men's marathon. But wasn't the finish in both of them amazing? I love the marathon finishing on the track. There's something unique about that, and it starts on the track. And it's funny seeing them head out on the track too, because they just look so awfully slow. We're so used to seeing paces at well under 3 minute pace, and they're heading out on the track at around 3 minute pace. It just sort of looks quite odd. But the way they finish on the track, I think, just adds to the spectacle. And both finished. Both had two runners finishing onto that track, and for the men's, that is Simbu. He was behind Petros by a good, what, 10 meters, and in that last 100 meters catches up to him, and they finished basically simultaneously. And Bruce McAvaney was calling that as usual, and even he was indecisive as to who had won. Petros took the banner. We spoke off air about that. It like sort of wrapped around him, so I thought he'd won it. And it come down to only 300ths of a second. Obviously, in sports like athletics and swimming, times are generally measured in hundredths of seconds, aren't they? Like 0.02 or 0.12. They don't often go to this unless it's needed, where races are so close, the closest ever in the history of what we're observing this week. So, yeah, what do you make of the men's first?
Yeah, it was I've only seen the sort of the highlights of it, but I did see too it was like an interesting race. Like it wasn't like a lot of other like major championships you see where somebody basically, they go out pretty slowly, then someone makes a big move and breaks away and sort of ends up, splitting everything up. It was pretty evenly. I think they went through in about maybe it was maybe like 64 for 5 and 64 or something high or something like that.
Might be a
So it was
touch
a bit of
slower,
a,
actually. And it was
yeah,
hot too.
it's
I didn't
just,
mention the heat, did I?
no, it would have been, yeah, would have been really hot being in Japan this time of year. But yeah, like it was, yeah, a huge finish. I think like it was either had it gone either way, it would have been pretty significant because I don't think Germany's ever won a distance gold medal in the world champs either, I think. So it was either going to be Tanzania's first one or Germany's first one in on the track, I believe, or in a running event, I believe. But yeah, it's really good watch. It's really, it was, sort of the last bits, it was close. And yeah, I mean, to come down after, a bit over 2 hours of running to come down to 300ths of a second is
Yeah, it's remarkable.
unbelievable. The German guy probably needed to stop looking over his shoulder so many times because he was obviously, he'd made that move and it looked like he was going to win, and then was obviously just, I don't know, sprinting at the end of the marathon is, I can't imagine it's that fun. I mean, I can never do it, so.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to my wife about that finish and how unique that is. She's a bit of a runner, but doesn't follow it like you and I do, Stephen. And just to explain to her, someone who's not so invested in the sport, how that is just so ridiculous after 42 kilometers and 2 hours and 9 minutes and 48 seconds that two human beings are together. And then I went and researched. So back in 2001, there was a 1 second gap between Abera and Bawat. And in 2015, in the women, Dibaba and Kiprop were 1 second apart. So it has happened before, but this is the closest in terms of that time there. The women's marathon too, that was pretty thrilling. Asafa, it's very interesting to see her in that position of second. The heat's played a part again. They run a 2:24 here, Stephen. That's a far cry from what these women can do. What do you make of this event? Uruguay in there too.
Yeah, it was another interesting one. I saw, I remember I flicked it on when I got home on the weekend, and it was I didn't know what was happening. I was like, what are they showing? Because they had the American girl that was
Oh,
like way out in front. And
yes,
I was
Sullivan,
like,
yeah.
what's going on? And then there was no one went with her, and the Assefa, who she's a 2:11 girl. I'm not sure what Jepchirchir has won, but run before, but they had a pack of about six or seven of them just chilling, and they like. And then they had, yeah, the American girl, and then I can't remember who the other what the other nationality was who was in between them, but like, yeah, they had like the two chase packs, and it was yeah, by the time it sort of went around and they got to the end, the pack of East Africans had sort of made their way, sort of past them, and then yeah, had that that yeah, a sprint to the finish. But that Jepchirchir, she sort of just looked like she, you know, she made it her own in the end, and looked like she wasn't going to get beaten. Just absolutely powered into the stadium. So yeah, it was another, like, another close one. Like, it's pretty good. You get, you know, have both, you know, both marathons won, so, you know, so competitive, and, you know, the final stages is pretty good. And I think a hot race sort of does that a little bit, like, makes it more tactical, because they, you know, they can't just time trial it. So
Definitely. 2:24:43 was the winning time, and we got a few Aussies around that mark, but we've got to acknowledge how hot it was out there. So 2:16 was her previous PB, Chepchir, however you pronounce that correctly. I might have got that wrong, but that's what 8 minutes from her PB. So it just shows you the effect of that heat. Uruguay's first ever medal in the World Champs too for Patinane, who was there in bronze. And then the men's steeple, this was like Beamish's journey to this win was remarkable. Tripped over a hurdle in the semi and in the final, no tripping, but again, another catch up required from him.
yeah, that was a great, another great race. Like, this was, I think it was one and around eight, just over 8:30. So these guys, like, El Bakkali is a high 7 minute guy. I think he might be the second fastest of all time. Beamish has run maybe just under 8:10, so this is significantly slower than what they can run, again, probably due to the heat. But El Bakkali, he's won basically four global titles in a row, so that's two Olympics and two world champs, and has just been unbeatable for years. And I think on the circuit this year, I think he might have got beaten once in one of the early Diamond Leagues, but has dominated. He maybe ran one other or two others, which he just dominated like he normally would. And then George Beamish, who basically won an indoor 1500 meter title in the same way, was absolutely
Oh,
nowhere at the
yeah.
bell, and then has his flying last lap. And I think El Bakkali, like, I think sort of what happened with him is he, I think what he normally he is it how he comes second this time is sort of how he normally wins it. He'll normally wind up and just sort of just it'll be a little bit quicker, and then he'll just basically just kick over the last 300 400 meters, and it can't get touched. But I think he just misjudged it a little bit and left, not it didn't do quite enough early. And George Beamish comes out of the last water jump, and just as soon as he came out, he goes past, I think he went past the Japanese guy, and then just ran him down on the line. So yeah, got it. It wasn't as close as the marathon, but it was still, yeah, still it was only half a second or something. And yeah, it's just, this is a pretty exciting one. The steeple, I find in Diamond Leagues, I don't follow it quite as closely. But at the World Champs, you know, it's usually a pretty exciting event once you add the hurdling and the water jumps into it. And this one, yeah, add the close finish into that, and it was pretty, yeah, pretty exciting sort of event. And it's good to see, you know, someone, you know, George is on the, he's on the Coffee Club pod, which, you know, a lot of people will know. So it's sort of, he's one of those guys who shares his journey, so I think a lot of people would have been invested in seeing him run well. So it was pretty exciting to see that one.
Hopefully this commotion sort of raised people's engagement with the event. It's kind of hard to participate in it as a runner, like a recreational runner. There's not too many opportunities out there to do it. And I guess too, like some of those runners in their earlier years will give it a crack. I think you and I were talking about it on the weekend. Kai Robinson, who's now, top 3 5 10K guy in Australia, he was there doing steeple a couple of years back, giving it a crack. I just don't know, where it sort of sits for runners, who decides to do it. Is it the ones who just can't make it? Is it the ones who want to make something of it? I just don't know. But certainly, I guess raise some eyebrows with that commotion with Beamish this week. But the men's 10K and women's, like these, from a non-runner's point of view, probably a bit of a non-spectacle. Like they were headed out pretty slowly. The heat again affected this race. I sort of have flashbacks to remember Pat Tiernan in the Olympics Tokyo. He had that. It was in the last lap, wasn't it, Stephen? Where he basically the heat got to him and he just fell over. He basically almost passed out It just reminded me of the fact that these runners were so conscious of time. In the men's race, they got to sort of 8K almost all together. And then Kajelcha, who's like two-time indoor world champion, who was, basically the favorite, he's being kicked off the mantle by a French guy, Gressier. And that's the first ever title for a French man to Gressier, who basically had the speed in the last 400 to win this race. Again, it's like they had pretty much done a 9K fast threshold, and then it's, well, maybe 9.6K, and then it's like a 400 sprint off. It's like, who can run the fastest 400 after running reasonably quickly for 9 point something K?
Yeah, it was. I think this year the event was a little bit opened up too, because it's the first one probably since around maybe like 2019, 2020, that Kip Lemo and Joshua Cheptegei haven't been in the event. And I think those guys and some of the East Africans, I suppose they just know they can, if they make it fast, it limits who's going to be there at the bell. And I mean, Jimmy Gressier, I think like last year at the Paris Olympics, he might have broken 27 and to get the French national record. Like that was a really fast event last year. So he's won European cross country titles and all that sort of thing. So he's not a nobody, but I mean, you definitely, when the race is slow, it definitely opens it up to a few people. And I think he kind of keeps it a little bit more interesting, but it is kind of funny when you flick on a 10K and you're watching through the fourth and the fifth K and they're basically just dawdling in a big pack.
Yeah,
Make it look like,
it
mate,
looks
they
like
don't
it.
even look
Like
like a
they're running
Sunday
fast.
job.
They're running faster than your 32-minute 10K. It looks so much like a jog to them, hey? Yeah,
Yeah,
basically
they're
a
just kind of
30-minute
so
pace.
easy.
Yeah. But yeah, 12:51. He ran a 5K in June this year, Gressier. That's the French 5K record. And you're right. Last year was the 10K just dipping under 27. Obviously, the really elite runners are closer to mid 26. But it shows he's got some speed. And it's anyone's race at that point, isn't it? When you get down to that point in that final 400, you just can't predict the winner there at all. Unless these guys have run recent shorter events, which they don't often do, like run a recent 15, 3K, or maybe a 5K, based on that sort of history of his, Gressier, that June 12:51.
Yeah, they'll run 5Ks because there's not a whole heap of 10Ks on the circuit anymore. You've kind of got the Sound running the night of the 10Ks, and then they might have one like as a pre-Diamond League sort of event. So there's not many opportunities to run the 10, but they, yeah, outside of that, if it's slow enough, you just don't know any of them can get up because they're
Yeah.
all, yeah, it makes it a real lottery. Like in the 10K, I know Grant Fisher was in a really good position and looked like he was. I think with about 200 to go, it looked like he was going to medal again, and then just basically got overrun by about four guys. I think even the Nico Young, the other American, one of the other Americans, even got over him too. So, yeah, when it's slow, it makes it more exciting, that's for sure. And I think that again, it's like the marathon. When they make it a hot event, they put somewhere like Japan where yeah, humidity's high and it's really warm. It just opens it up to so many more people and makes it so much more exciting than a time
Yeah.
like one that's run one in a quick time because it just sort of keeps everybody in it.
Yeah, I love that. As a runner, I think we can appreciate that. As a non-runner, it can probably be boring for most of the race, but I find it's like you're just sitting there wondering who's going to make the move. And then you look back at it in hindsight, and surely the runners do too, particularly in that men's race, thinking, should have I just gone earlier? These guys can run 26 mid. Was that an opportunity, a couple of Ks earlier? But it's always easy in retrospect because the women, they also show that heat affected them, one in a mid-30s as well. But mate, the first Kenyan ever, we discussed this off air, to win the 10K at the World Champs. How is that a fact? I had to research multiple facts to confirm that.
Yeah, I was shocked when you said that. Yeah, I think it must be. I know we were saying earlier off air that yeah, Safwan Hassan I think has won some and probably a couple of. It's probably been dominated by the Ethiopians then. And yeah, not sure who before that, but yeah, I was kind of shocked to hear that. But it's always nice when you hear. I mean, Kenya's pretty dominant in distance running, but it's always good when you see when a different country's getting amongst the golds, and we've seen so far a fair bit of that in these world champs, which has been really, really awesome to see.
Yeah, and that Italian national record, 30:28, to Bato Cloete as well in silver.
I
So,
think she got a bronze in the Olympics too, so that's pretty good from her, yeah, backing up, in two global championships in a row, basically to come way of a medal. So again, I suppose that sort of I know Bato Cloete, I know she is very fast as well. Like she's run really well at World Cross and in over the 5K as well. So she's a quality athlete. But still, it, like when they run slow, it brings she might not be a medal chance if it's run quick. So, yeah, when it's slow, it brings more people into it. But yeah, I mean, you still have to be very good to be up there at the end and be able to be within the medals. So, yeah, there's another sort of good one being a slow race.
Yeah, she's one to watch. 25 years of age. She's got every national record up to 2 miles. So, except for the 1500. She's got, and sorry, I'll repeat myself, up to the 5K. She's got 5K, 3K short track. I'm online on World Athletics now. The 3,000 meters on the track, 5K road, 10K, 10,000 meters. That's the track event when they ride it like that. And the 2 mile event, national records for Italy. So, that's pretty wild. She's, yeah, certainly going to be one to take note of moving forward. Now, what's up next on the agenda? Well, the 800, that was last night, hey? And we had a few Aussies in that. I'm forgetting the third Aussie. I had my eyes on Peyton Craig. He's been on the podcast, so I have a bit of a connection to him. And of course, Peter Boll ran that 142 high, didn't he? That Australian record. Was that early this year? So, like,
Yeah,
he's
he's in
been
the
one to
Diamond
watch.
League this year.
And
So
they've all missed out.
he broke the Australian record at the National Champs and got down to 143.8
Low
ish or something like
five, yeah.
that. And then he's taken another chunk off it. I can't remember which Diamond League, but it's one of the Diamond Leagues earlier this year. So he's taken a second and a half off his. He'd run 144 flat, I think, and so it's basically a second and a half off his PB, which is over 800 meters at he's just over 30 years of age too, so that's a big chunk off, and it's probably reflective of where the event's gone. Like it's really exploded in the last couple of years, so I suppose he's just got to.
Yeah, all these guys around a low 145. Who was the third guy? Sorry, who have I forgotten out
Luke
there?
Boyes was the third
Yeah,
Australian.
that's terrible form by me, Luke. So, yeah, Peyton, he was lane one to start with. I don't think that lane suited him. I think some runners might prefer to be in those inside lanes to have a view of the race, but it seemed like he had to work quite hard to get in a good position to start with. And it sort of ruined him for what he's known for to finish hard. He just seemed to not have that kick towards the end and was just too far away. Again, with a 145 low. Peter Boll, yeah, run us through his race because that was a slightly different. He's gone out pretty aggressive.
He went out. He was really positioned really, really well. Basically went to the front, was there until the end, and then just he was in third and just got out kicked by a Jamaican. I listened, and then he was the first, he was the fastest person of the time qualifiers to miss. So he was in the last heat, he got
Oh,
bumped out.
yeah, that's right.
And I heard he was talking to, I can't remember if it was SBS or Mitch Dyer, the straight outer, one of those ones who's over there. And he pretty much said that in the 800, you've got one move to make. And he tried to make two or three. So he said he wasted a bit of energy. And then, he was feeling pretty good. And then in the last 100 meters, he just didn't quite have the legs to get him over there. So I imagine he'll be kicking himself. But I think. Even though he's probably of the three, he's probably the one you would have most expected to get through the semis. So, I think it's a little bit disappointing, but he at the same time he's had a great year. So, and the 800 is really cutthroat compared to any of the other middle distance events. It's I mean the 1500 is pretty cutthroat now too, but it's incredibly hard to progress in that event. So. To just miss is a little bit disappointing, but I think he still had a really great year, so.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, obviously, he's got the Australian record, but he's a little bit hot and cold, isn't he? Like, he's had some amazing runs. Is it the event that lends itself to him being a little bit hot and cold, or do you think it's bowl himself potentially sometimes just with, strategies in the moment.
Yeah, I think the event is a little bit. I mean, but in saying that, the guys like Wanyonyi and Marco Arop and yeah, a lot of the other guys who at the top of that event, they're like Bryce Hopple
Layer
from
up, yeah.
the US. They're really consistent. I know probably Pete Bowl, like he was sort of on the up around 2021 when he came fourth in the Olympics, and then was it the year after that where or the was it the 1 or 2 years after that where they had all that doping stuff. That saga they had where he got sort of tested provisionally suspended, and then they had the test where they said it was a misreading and all that saga. And I know that some of the commentary around how he was feeling at that time was pretty up and down. I think that put him in a he missed a lot of training from while he was provisionally suspended and all that sort of
Oh
thing. And
yeah, I forgot about
yeah, I think that had a lot to do with sort of some of his inconsistencies. But I do know too, like you, I mean, you and I are both dads, and he's, I believe, recently become a dad this year. So, and I've heard him say quite
Oh.
a few times that that's really balanced him out, and not taken, I mean, it is his job, so he's obviously taking it seriously. But I think he said that's really given him some perspective, and I think that's probably a bit of his resurgence is probably why he's been good this year, and then probably just the nature of the event. It's easy. It's easy to sort of find yourself in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, I guess he's in like more big time races now. Like he's racing against the best, whereas a couple of years ago he's sort of progressing through races with less quality, so to speak. Then you add in that unpredictable nature of the 800, maybe. But yeah, 30 years of age. Let's see how he goes, because this is where a lot of the runners start to transition from. They start to move up or give it up. Probably more so 1500 meter guys like Ryan Gregson's a good example, who went up to the marathon from 15. We haven't seen heaps go up from 800. I just wonder, yeah, what's his plan for the next sort of 5 years? But yeah, let's move along to that 1500, the women's last night. Jess Hull woke up to this. This was at 11 o'clock, so far past probably our bedtime, being guys that wake up at in the four somethings usually, Stephen. But yeah, I had this basically in my mind before I went to bed, woke up. Open Instagram, of course, being a podcast, a host and founder of a page that follows running. The first thing is Jess Hull's third place. And yeah, just so stoked for her with this. Like, she should be so happy. What I was really proud about, though, I honestly think she was having a crack at first. Like, she was chasing Kipyegon right to the end, where I feel like she could have held back a little bit just to be sure that she could. Hold silver, but she was taken over, I think, in an attempt to try to take that gold off Faith. But she was just too strong from the start. She led from memory the whole way, and Jess basically in second till she got past at the end.
Yeah, is she yeah, Kipyegon, she was gunned to tape. And yeah, she basically just took it under, put it under her arm, said, "Nah, this is mine, you're not passing me." And was just too good. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it looked like anyway that Jess, if she probably had a run, raced for the silver, she could have probably quite easily and would have been in a much better position to get the silver. But she, put herself tucked in right behind Faith and basically just put it on the line. And, she almost missed the podium. Like if any, I don't know if you watched the Diamond League final where she basically
Yeah.
just, she just ran out of legs. But yeah, this time she just hung on. But I mean, like, I think that's part of what's so great about Jess Hull is, I mean, she's really improved in the last couple of seasons, but every time she races, she puts herself in it and goes for the win, not just for doesn't go for the place or doesn't go conservatively, like throws it all out there. So it's pretty, pretty awesome to watch. And just really, I thought she had, a great run. It's sort of the 1500 and any of those middle distance events when it gets hard, it's your legs get very heavy very quickly. So it's Yeah, when it goes pear-shaped, it goes pear-shaped quickly, and it went pretty close to her. But I was, yeah, thrilled to see her hang on for the bronze. And that's again two global championship medals in the last two major championships. So in an event that in the women's, admittedly, like Faith is by far and away the goat. And then, but it's still a very competitive event. Like it's not an easy one to win one medal in, let alone two. So, yeah, it's pretty good to see that she's, got to the top of the sport and hanging around.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's Craig Mottram vibes at times, like just seeing, an Australian or Caucasian person amongst the Africans at the real top end now. Just takes me back to when he used to compete in the 2000s, and beyond against these ridiculously talented athletes genetically too. We know that these Africans genetically are so predisposed to the way that they're put together with the speed, particularly in 1500 meters and under. Speaking of 1500, the men's 15 is to come and the 5Ks. I've got one bloke on my mind and how he's going to go in both events. Have a guess at who that is.
I reckon Seth O'Donnell would be
Oh,
my guess.
no.
Flying Mullet.
Yeah, he's probably the second guy. That sounds terrible now because I'm an Aussie. But no, Jakob Ingebrigtsen, because he bombed out. In that 1500, but the 5K, that's what I'm talking about with him, not the final to the 15. But is he in prime fitness for the 5K? Because if it's a slow run, a race, which it likely is in the heat and a world champs, he's the one with that finishing kick and experience. What do you think?
Yeah, well, he's had the Achilles injury, obviously, and yeah, I think it'd be interesting because, like, now Cole Hocker got bumped out of the 1500 with that, sort of somewhat controversial DQ.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's kind of similar. If it's a slow race, I mean, I think there's a few 1500 guys. I think another one, Niels Laros, who's probably the favorite for the 1500. I believe he's doubling in the 5K. I could be wrong on that, but if there's some 1500 meter guys in there and it's a slow race, I think it opens up to a few of them. And I'm not sure that Jakob, off his current fitness, will have, will be able to get it done. I mean, I hope he's up there. Like, but yeah, I mean, for him not even to get through the heats, he must. Yeah, it must have been. He must have been really struggling and missed a lot of training. So, I'm interested to see how he goes. And I'm a big Jakob fan, so I'd love to see him, definitely get into the final and be, be there or thereabouts. But, depending on how many 1500 guys are there, and Cole Hocker, I reckon, will be. He'll have fire in his belly after missing the final in the 1500. And he'll be another one to watch of the fast 1500 guys, and our mate Seth O'Donnell as well. I reckon he's going to go well.
Yeah, back on Seth because he's improving at a rapid rate, isn't he? And building a bit of a profile online, likes to shake it up. Bit of a funny guy. He also seems pretty bright. But yeah, he's one to watch. Kai Robinson has been like pretty consistent overseas in America for a number of years now. And I'm forgetting who the third is. Who's the third guy?
Jack Rayner.
Rayner. Yeah,
Yeah.
so he's because he sort of had a rough patch there, didn't he? I think start of the year, but he's back for more. So yeah, who's the pick out of those guys right now, do you reckon?
I think Kai Robinson, you gotta go with him. From what I can tell, he's broke 13 minutes. I think it was in the outdoor season he did it. So he's broken 13 minutes. He has the world indoor 3K medal, so if it's a slow heat, he's got the speed there. He also won a 1500 mile race in the US, like this. I can't remember what the mile was, but it was like a kind of a low key. They just have the it's like a domestic race, but he won that in about 3:50. So he's definitely got some wheels. But of the three guys of the Australians, I think he's probably the one to watch. Jack Rayner, yeah, I know he had. I think he was had a little bit of an injury around the time of Morey Plant earlier in the year, which sort of put him back a couple of months. But I think he's going okay at the moment. And then yeah, Seth is probably he's the bit of the unknown. He ran a really fast 3K, I think it was in I can't remember where it was, but it was that the Swedish guy come third in the 10K. He won it. And then Seth was second in 7:34, which is yeah, like that's a really fast 3K times, which is and then yeah, he wasn't in a race in the European season where he could probably see how fast he could go, which is a bit disappointing. But yeah, he's the other one, I think. Yeah, I don't know how he can go, or any of them are going to go, but I think if I was going to put my money on any of them to make the final, it'd probably be Kai Robinson.
Yeah, 12:58 is wild. Like, how many between him and Craig Mottram, who's down at 12:56, isn't he? Or
So
55.5,
yeah, you'd have
Australian record.
Stewie, I think's run 12:56, and then Mottram's run 12:55, I think.
So, like, sub 13 as an Aussie is ridiculous. And he's in remarkable shape. Seth's a bit of an enigma. He's been training like a lot of threshold. And a lot of really fast short stuff. His reps on the track have been insane. His coach, he's mainly solo, if you've noticed, out on the track.
Yeah, I don't think he's got a group. I think his coach is I don't think his coach is like a particularly well-known running guy either. I can't remember who he is, but I don't he's not attached to a group or anything, and he does a lot. He's got his Sammy, the guy who does his YouTube, and his mate. I
Oh,
think
yeah.
they do a little bit of work together, but Sammy seems like he's mostly filming at the moment. So yeah, he's a bit of an unknown, Seth, and yeah, I mean, I love his story. Like, he's just a completely, he's wild. So, I think most people who follow sport, they want to see him do well as well. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited to see all of them go. I think that's tomorrow night. So,
Oh, I've just had it up. Yeah, timetable.
I think the heats are not that late either. So it's
No,
like
it's
not what it's one we
two
can
days
watch at
away.
night, not in the morning when we wake up.
It's Friday at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, oh, nice.
Tomorrow we have women's 5K, 8 o'clock. Women's 800 heats as well, 9 o'clock. Very quickly, this is a distance running podcast, but Gout Gout from Ipswich Grammar School in year 12 is going to be competing as the youngest, I think, ever Aussie tonight in the 200. It must be coming up in the next half an hour to an hour. I think he's in heat five. He's run a sub 20 illegally and a 20 oh something legally. And he's going to run, you might know, Nudgee College is attached to Ipswich in the GPS competition here in Brisbane, Stephen. So he'll be out at GPS in only just over a month or so, going from a world champs to then running against school kids. So he's such like novelty. Out of these meets we have, practice meets for the schools on Friday nights, the kids just absolutely love this guy. And he recorded a sub 10 on a stopwatch for 100 meters the other week, and there was a bit of commotion about that. Obviously, handheld isn't so accurate, but yeah, let's see how he goes. Hopefully, he can make something of his heat.
Yeah, I've heard he's I think he's James Templeton is like his manager and his coach, and I think they're managing his expectations really well, and they're sort of saying a good result for Gout is getting through to the semis. So I think he's run of the world. He might be about the I think he's like maybe the about the yeah, he's between like 15 and 20th fastest this year in the world. So yeah, which is, I mean, unbelievable at 17. And yeah, so hopefully it'd be good. Hopefully he has a good run and gets through the semis. And yeah, I think that's probably like his sort of rise and just being a really great story is kind of getting the more general pop, general public's interest in these championships. And yeah, there's a lot of great distance running and other athletic stories that are there, and he's sort of getting people's interest in it. So it's hopefully he does well and gets another run. Gets through the first round, and yeah, we get to see him go again.
Yeah, he's the third seed in his heat. He's in lane eight. Brian Lavelle, Jamaican guy. He's a 19.69 guy. I haven't checked the other heats yet, but in my knowledge of 200, that's going to be right down there. So, yeah, if he's third seed, maybe he can take that third place. But let's move along. We've Basically, got your running left, mate, here to chat about. You've got Melbourne coming up. Is Melbourne 5 weeks away from last weekend? Where are we sitting with that
Four, so
timeline-wise?
it's, yeah, three, basically about 3.5 weeks to go now. So, we've got one more big session on Sunday, where I'll do probably 2 by 12K, with Taz Savage. He's in really good nick, and off his really, yeah, really great Gold Coast performances. Yeah, got into Melbourne, and yeah, he's looking at, we're both looking at running something around the same. I mean, Taz is an absolute endurance monster, so I'm hoping I can go with him. But yeah, we've got that session this weekend. Then I'll probably have one more week of just sort of normal training, and we've just a normal long run on the Sunday, and then a 2 week taper, and then we're there. So this is probably the best I've felt like going into like a marathon. Like I've, despite, yeah, like I've, you know, I've got a fairly small baby at home, and despite that, and I'm not sleeping that much, and I thought it'd be a little bit, I'd be feeling a little bit rougher and having to miss a few more days than I've had to, but I don't know, like on a little bit less sleep than would be ideal. I've been able to, you know, string some really good weeks together, and I think I've strategically planned some down weeks quite well, just to sort of get on top of, you know, keep the body feeling good. And yeah, it's, I'm really looking forward to Melbourne. Be the, I've done that marathon a couple of times already, and it's a, you know, it's always cooler than it is in Brisbane. It's really starting to heat up here now. This morning was pretty humid, so yeah, you get a nice cool change when you go down there, and we've got a good group of bush turkeys going down, so yeah, really looking forward to it.
Awesome, mate. That sounds fantastic. Yeah. Like you said, a few Bush Turkey Track Club runners in that event. And what, 4 weeks or 5 weeks out this weekend, whatever that is, that's obviously the perfect time to do that sort of ultimate session this weekend. And a bit of an awkward sort of, I saw you do a Wednesday session this morning after Bridge to Brisbane, and I assume you're going to take Friday as a jog and get into Sunday. Is that how it's sort of looking for you?
Yeah. I initially, normally I pull up okay from a 10K, but I think the
Brisbane hits different, eh?
yeah, that I think it's the second K where you run, like I ran a 3 minute K the
The
second K
downhill.
downhill, and my quads were just pretty sore, and I've been, I picked up a little bit of a cold, and Ewan McFadgen, he was pretty keen. He was keen to just have an extra day, so we did the bush turkey session. I think most people just jogged actually. I had a sleep in. We did our session today, so yeah, a little bit different doing it on a Wednesday as distance runners. I think we all like doing our regular structure where we do a Tuesday session, a Friday session, and a Sunday long run, and a bit of jogging in between that. So it's thrown me off a little bit, and I'm not sure what day of the week it is, but yeah, no, I did that Wednesday, and yeah, I pulled up pretty sore, but I'm starting to feel good now. So yeah, I'll just jog the rest of this week, and then have the big session on Sunday, and I can't wait. Like I really, really, really love the marathon sessions. Like like on Sundays, they're so much fun. We usually get a couple of the other guys. Clive, I think, is going to jump in with us for a little bit. We said he was. Now I've said it on here, he's gonna have to. So yeah, we usually get a couple of people who came to jump in for little bits and pieces of the session, and there's just a lot of fun. Like Ollie, you jumped in one of my 7K reps the
You're
other week,
talking
which
me into
was,
it right now.
yeah. So
Very
if
tempted.
you're up for it, that's what we were doing on Sunday. So yeah, it's one more session to go, and then yeah, then in Melbourne, I'm yeah, really looking forward to, you know, seeing what I can do, and you know, having a, yeah, it'd be really nice, fun weekend with the with all the guys down there. So
Fantastic, mate. Equally for me, I'm looking forward to getting back into structure myself for the first time in probably like 6 months, getting back into that Tuesday, Friday, Sunday setup moving forward. I'm just going to lock in like a, 80K or something weeks and get back into 5Ks like a lot of us too. So a bit of shout out to events coming up quickly to listeners. The 5K champs in November QA meet, the Noosa Bolt, if for those who haven't done it up there, that's hot. It's pretty crazy, good fun race to get involved with. And any other QA event too, GC30 is it, Stephen, too, happening in about a month as well.
yeah, same day as Melbourne. Got the GC50, so I think they've got a 50K half
50.
marathon and a 10K event. So I don't know anyone doing the 50 this year. I know a couple of people in half, and I saw Paul Goulet on the weekend. He's running the 10, so should be pretty good local contingent, and they've moved that forward about a month and a half now, so it should be a little bit less hot than it can be for that event. So yeah, it should be. That's another one. Maybe next year would be keen to get back to that. I did it when it was a 30K a few years ago, and it was in no end of November or start of December, and it was pretty hot. So it's a great local event. They do a good job, the guys that put that on.
Fantastic, mate. Hey, some quick listener questions. And you mentioned Ewan a few times on here. He's got a question for you. And he's mentioning a guy that's become let's call it semi-viral in the local Brisbane community out there. He's a YouTuber. He likes to ca take a camera out to races. He's asking you how Mighty Mark affected your performance on Bridge for Brisbane. Ran into this guy before the race. How did he affect you? Did he get your vibes up?
It was great. I've Mark is he's a really nice guy, and we saw him in the warm up, and we'd been carrying on a bit on the train ride there. And I think with Mark, he brings a really good energy, and I think what he's doing is really great for the local running community. And so I think if anything, he got me probably even more hyped up. And it probably just we were just being silly, and I'd had some caffeine gum, so I was bouncing off the walls.
Oh,
So,
mate, didn't we ever? It's like a night out for us in the morning, swapping caffeine for alcohol. But yeah, mate, Mitchie Collins too, he's got a question here. Put a time on your Melbourne marathon. Mitch wants to know what time you can run.
Oh, that's a good question.
Sub 240. What are we putting here?
So if I can go under 240, I'll be pretty happy. I'll see how this Sunday goes, and something under 240 would be nice, I reckon.
Yeah, great, mate. Well, yeah, thanks for coming back on. I thought of you pretty quickly because you're a pretty avid follower of athletics in general and the champs are happening. And
Yeah,
of course, with the
I think you and I are both nuffies, basically.
yeah, you sort of talk to people out there running and they're like, what are you talking about? But you seem to know what's going on. But and then also I think post the Road to Gold Coast Half Series, just a bit of a catch up with yourself and always keen to get guests back on here for multiple times. We've had heaps of guests come back on the show, so welcome anytime. And yeah, mate, I'll see you out this week sometime at the
Yeah,
Bushirky Track Club. So
yeah,
thanks
we'll do.
again.
Thanks for having us again, and we'll see you later in the week.